The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tap, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tap. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're here to continue our recollection series this offseason. And today we're going to be talking about Justin Forsett, a running back from the 2014-15 era. Also played a little bit in 16. Joining us here to talk about him is Yu Cole. Yu, how you doing?
I'm good. Thanks, Ken. How are you?
Always great to have you on. This is your third episode you've done recently. We do want to point people to the Jackson and Manning episode. I think it's a very good one, but go back and take a listen to that if you would. You also wanted to talk about Qadri Ishmael. So we did that right before this, and now we're talking about Justin Forsett. I will try and not have these load on consecutive days, but sometimes that happens anyway. It won't be the worst thing if it does. Justin, interesting player in Ravens history, certainly another guy like Ishmael that they got kind of off the scrap heap. In terms of a guy who was almost out of chances in the NFL, and then he had his best years with the Ravens.
He did. I'll be honest. I picked him because I followed him a bit post-career, and he seems just like a really, really good person. And I appreciate that about anybody, obviously, but especially athletes. He's a deeply Christian guy. He's an entrepreneur. He's done a number of different entrepreneurial endeavors post-career.
Do you know some of those? Because I remember he had some athletic wipes he was doing at one point. What else has he done?
I think that, and then motivational speaking. I know I've seen him in a number of different motivational speaking opportunities. I've seen him on a couple of podcasts with former NFL players talking about former NFL players and their post-career endeavors. So rather than get it wrong, I'll just point people to, you know, Google Justin Forsett and see what he's up to. I'm sure if some of those opportunities are out there.
Okay. So you picked him. That's a reason why you picked him as a player. Talk a little bit about, you know, what you remember about him.
Well, I think, unfortunately, you probably have to start with Justin Forsett by talking about how he got his opportunity in that 2014 season, which was when Ray Rice was released from the team because of his off-field issues. Don't necessarily have to get into that too much, but that was when Justin had been signed earlier in that offseason and you know, was sort of sitting behind Bernard Pierce and I don't know if Talifera was on the team already when Forsett was brought in.
2014 was Talifera's first year, I believe. Okay. But he's definitely on the team. He had a couple hundred yards that year.
Okay. So had a couple guys you know, that he was competing with, and he shone brightly in the first few games, and then really picked it up towards the middle and end of that season.
It was an interesting thing because obviously Pierce had been a big part of the playoff run in 2012, but he had a down 2013. You still thought maybe he'd be the guy if Rice went down, and Rice, of course, lost for other reasons. But the three-headed monster was really not bad at all that year. Pierce had some yards, Talaferro had some yards, and Forsett had his career season with 1,266, 5.4 yards per attempt. I've been touting success rate recently. He did not have a particularly high success rate, only 42.6%, which is about 15 percentage points lower than Gus Edwards' career rate. So good, certainly. Good player, lots of breakaway value, made a Pro Bowl. But as a runner, he was very good, took advantage of a offensive line that had a pretty good year that year, too.
Played at a pretty good Cal team during his time in college with Marshawn Lynch, and sort of followed Marshawn Lynch into the NFL. And there, Aaron Rodgers, I think, was on that Cal team as well. So they had a pretty good team at that point. But you're right, came into the league, drafted by Seattle, was with a number of different teams before landing with the Ravens. And then just like a lot of other players have, when they get to Baltimore, found something in the water and put together a year that that had the team finding success. I don't remember exactly what the expectations were for that team going into that season, but they...
Not high.
Yeah, not high.
Yeah. And especially after the Ray Rice thing, not high at all. But yeah. Flacco had his best year, and Kubiak was there as an offensive coordinator, which really the... You know, when you look at the history of Ravens offensive coordinators, it is not storied. You have Greg Roman, who was good in ways that people will never accept that he was good at. And he was honestly the best. And then Kubiak, the second best, but only was here for a year because he moved on. If he had he been here longer, he might have been, you know, known as the best. And they have Monken, who's probably the third best. Mm-hmm. And it's not a particularly great group. You look at defensive coordinators, they're all great. But the offensive coordinators have a lot of bad one-year guys.
Not for lack of big names, though. Caldwell, Fossil. I mean, these were big name guys that just...
Even Trestman, you know, coming in from the CFL with a lot of success there. I mean, it wasn't like they didn't try. Marty Morningweg, you know, I guess it's hard to call him a big name. Morningweg, but I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole, but I do like telling these stories when I find Marty Morningweg. Is a really interesting guy at the podium. Some people, they get to the podium, they know exactly what they're doing. And Dean Pease, whether he agreed with what he was doing or not, he was very open about explaining what things were. And Jerry Rosberg, you always know where you were because he basically didn't like to be at the podium, I don't think, even though he had a very professorial way about him. He would give you these quippy one-liners to try and end the question, you know, with nothing, as opposed to giving you something really meaningful. And it was a particular style. Harbaugh, there's always a level of coach speak going on, and you've got to try and discern what's the difference. Morningweg can't complete a sentence. I mean, the guy literally could not complete a full sentence. So it's really hard to get much out of him. And if you look back at some of the transcripts when he was the offensive coordinator, you'll see this right in the thing. Cause they try and, you know, script the thing, giving him as much help as they can, and they still don't end up with complete sentences in the transcripts. So interesting guy. There was not really a place for him after Roman took over from run game coordinator or tight end coach or whatever the hell he was, and to be the offensive coordinator.
It'd be, not to continue down the rabbit hole too far, but it would be interesting to know whether they prepare coaches, even sort of at younger ages, whether they put them through those types of preparations to get them to the point where they can communicate what they're trying to do to the public.
I'm sure they do that. And I'm sure the Ravens in particular are very careful about that because they're so information sensitive. So, you know, if you have a person who's kind of a natural backpedaler and then they're also going through their head, the gears are turning on what can I not give away? It's a bad combination for people who aren't, you know, natural public speakers anyway. And I think Morningweg probably falls into that category. He's not the most natural guy. But there was one time that I particularly remember all three of the Ravens quarterbacks coming to the podium on the same day. And it was Griffin, Lamar. I guess it was Griffin, Lamar, and Flacco. Or was it the next year that they had another backup quarterback other than Griffin? who would have been the third guy, but whoever it was, the difference was really between Lamar and Griffin. And each of the three PR guys who were there, they kind of stand off to the side and they end the interview and they'll say one more question or whatever, but they try and get the player from stepping on his own feet and whatnot. And Lamar, was having a standard kind of a difficult day at the podium. It's, gets questions. He's not completely comfortable up there at this point in his career in 2018, 2019. And Griffin looked like he'd literally jumped out of a broadcast booth to be on this podium. And somebody, I think it might've been Justin Forsett, but it was one of the, and it wasn't him because he wasn't still around. It was some running back. I tell you who it was. It was Javorius Buck Allen. Had come up and there was some kind of joke he was making, inside joke about socks, and he had to explain it to the group and whatnot, but he's just extremely able to pivot and facile mm-hmm. and whatnot. And Kevin Byrne came up to a match where he goes, "You've done this before, haven't you?" he was made to be a broadcaster, that guy. So extremely good. All right, well, let's get back to Justin Forsett here, because in his big year, 1,266 yards, as we mentioned, 2015, he got hurt partway through the year, but he did play 10 games, had 641 yards, which is a heck of a season, frankly, mm-hmm. for a running back. I think what I remember most about him is there are a couple things, but one is how sure-handed he was. He only had one fumble in his entire Ravens career and 503 touches, which is terrific. Mm-hmm. You don't often get that, and you want to make your coach happy as a running back, start by not fumbling.
Right. Especially Harbaugh. We've seen that in the past. He does the way he treats that kind of thing.
Right. The other one was, a very small guy at 5'8", 190. So, not an imposing physical figure. He's built like a rock, but not an imposing physical figure. But he was an outstanding pass blocker, and it was a lot of effort, but he knew how to go low when he had to. And actually, build up momentum to meet a player in the middle, and you thought he was running into a wall a lot of the times. So mm-hmm. Forsett, extremely good in that regard. A big part of Flacco's 2014 was some of the chip and set blocks that were thrown by Forsett that season. He definitely gave Flacco additional time to throw when they would try and blitz him, and that's something that Flacco, without a good running back to pick up that extra man blitz, was really in a lot of trouble. He could be very disadvantaged.
Well, it's interesting. It's very much a, I've never played football, but I've watched a lot of it. It's an interesting sort of two-headed process for a running back to block. It's, making the block is obviously the way you want to end it, but getting to the block without running into, another player, without impeding the quarterback, without tripping over a lineman or affecting a lineman, is a real skill in and of itself. And Forsett seemed to be really good at maneuvering his way to the block, and then was, to your point, was, courageous and strong and held his position very well.
Yeah. And it's a great point, because a lot of backs will just wait. And they'll set effectively way too deep. And you hear about linemen setting too deep, and it messes up any kind of exchanges if you have a stunt or even a cross blitz or something like that. Any kind of exchanges that are necessary. If the linemen aren't consistently depthized, then you don't have an easy exchange to make. Well, in the case of Forsett, you need to protect that throwing cone. And so he needed to come up, had a very good sense of space in that regard.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary. You can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
And come up and hit an opposing player. And it's a two-part thing, as you mentioned. It's identification of what his responsibility is going to be. And if he has, particularly on blocks where he has an M responsibility, as we label it on our score sheet, he's choosing several gaps where that blitzer might come. And he actually has to make a judgment on to which side he keeps his leverage in order to be best able to meet the guy in that gap. So he was a guy who I really respect as a pass blocker, both in terms of the way he would throw his body around and the way he would be able to identify that that opposing player.
You mentioned his size. It's probably worth talking a little bit more about, only because I saw as I was looking through highlights, not necessarily the electricity of a Keaton Mitchell, but still the ability to get to the second level and to break through tackles, to, you know, either not necessarily to make guys miss always, but to put guys in a position where they're not maybe in the perfect tackling position, so he's able to bust through. He's got, for a guy his size, I would call it a bit of a surprisingly good ability to break tackles and to, you know, get yards after contact.
Yeah, contact balance. And you know, in that era, we had probably the greatest Raven ever at it, which was Ray Rice, in terms of being a little guy. I mean, look, there's nothing wrong with Jamal Lewis in terms of contact balance either. He ran right through contact. But Ray Rice, you know, could get into that three-point stance pretty much whenever he wanted while running the football. You know, the middle of a carry, I'm talking about, that he would regain his balance by using one hand on the ground. And Forsett had some of that as well, definitely a very good run through contact guy who could occasionally use his hand on the ground, but hell of a player. The shorter you are, generally, the better chance you have to use that hand to rebalance yourself. Yeah. It's not always recommended, by the way. Some running backs coaches would tell a running back that there's some extra injury risk with it. But it is something that I think is a great asset when you can use it.
He would often disappear into the line of scrimmage and then emerge on the other side into the second level. It was, you know, he would get sort of lost in there among the bigger guys, and would hit the hole very quickly though, and pop out the other end and take off.
Yeah, that's probably some good offensive line coaching going on in there. The Ravens certainly, they had their best interior offensive line during the 09 to 12 years, when they had Jason Brown and Burke at center, and they had Grubbs and Yanda at the guards for all of those years. They didn't have Grubbs for 2012, I guess, but they had Osemele for the playoff run. Anyway, great run of interior offensive line play. In 2014, they had some other people that were playing at guard then, but Yanda was at guard. I'm thinking left guard. Yanda's at left guard. At center, I'm trying to think of who they had in 14. It might have been Jeremy Zuda, or I may have the year off here. But whatever offensive line problems the Ravens had in that era, it was primarily at the at that left guard position that they consistently struggled after Osemele moved away from it.
It was Zuda was the center. He's listed on PFR as the starting center for that team.
Okay. All right, so I mean, he wasn't terrible, but he had some problems anchoring as a pass blocker. He better run blocker, big guy. Yeah. All right, how about, well, I got one other thing to mention in terms of play style. One of the things I really liked about him is I thought he sold the boot exceptionally well. And if you remember that 2014 season, it's true of a lot of Flacco years, the boot was a major part of what the Ravens did to create time and space for Flacco to have options at three levels. And oftentimes that meant Torrey Smith as the deep option, in his fourth season. But he had had a lot of success previously, obviously, as the deep option in terms of drawing pass interference, also having some long catches. But then have an intermediate option and a short option on that. And I've always said over the years that I think the boot, if you're a non-mobile quarterback, that zone run looks a lot more dangerous than Joe Flacco booting out to the opposite side. And so Flacco got a lot of leeway there to get some additional time and space that created some decent plays. But Kubiak really was a big proponent of the boot as well.
Yeah, Kubiak was known for getting a lot out of his running backs, but you know, coming into a system like Forsett did in that first year and picking it up fairly quickly and efficiently, I think was a tribute to him.
Sometimes we forget just how great Justin Forsett was, but he's actually second on the Ravens' all-time list in yards per game. He's at 69.1. Jamal Lewis at 85.7 is the only guy ahead of him. So, you know, we've had some other great running backs in terms of per-touch success, and hopefully Derrick Henry is going to be that guy. But these are the guys who played. I think I cut it off at 16 or 20 games. I don't remember. I think 16. So it had to be like one full season I did it for. He's third in yards per carry. The only two ahead of him are Lamar Jackson and Gus Edwards. So a second among running backs. So Justin Forsett really deserves to be remembered as the player he was in Baltimore, just a terrific asset to this team. How about some specific plays and instances you remember from his career?
Starting week two of the 14 season against the Steelers, the Ravens blew out the Steelers in that game. 26-6, I think. He had a 41-yard run in the fourth quarter. He didn't score. He almost scored, but I think they punched it in maybe a play or two later. And that was the one where, you know, obviously it's great to – always great to beat the Steelers, beat up on them like that. But just to have your quote-unquote new running back come in and begin to put something together in a game like that is great.
I'll pick another time from that 2014 season. The Ravens went on Monday Night Football to play at New Orleans in around Thanksgiving. So it was 11-24 they played there. That game it had several things, but one of the plays I really love, and it's one of the reasons why I still Lardarius Webb as a player is very near and dear to my heart, made an incredible hustle play from the opposite side of the field to chase down somebody. It might've been like Dante Stallworth or somebody on the very first drive, but anyway, chased him down, tackled him at the 1 yard line, after a 66 yard game. And then the Ravens four and outed the New Orleans from that point. They end up winning that game by 7 points, 34-27, I think. And Forsett had a huge day, 182 yards rushing, two TDs. And it was a really great game. We went to that game down in New Orleans, which is always fun, of course, to go on the road and see the team win. But, you know, I remember it as much for Webb's great play as I do for Forsett's incredible running that day.
Yeah, for sure. I'll just rewind 2 weeks prior to that. I think their bye week was the week prior, and they played Tennessee in week 10, 20 carries for 112 yards and another two touchdowns. So that was, I think, a stretch of, you know, back-to-back games that that really helped that season in the push for the playoffs.
Yeah. That win, I always sometimes get confused. That's the Zach Metzenberger loss, I think, to the Ravens at home. And then they had another similar one, but it was actually 21-0, which was the 11 sack game against Mariota that came later. That was, I think, in 2017. But a couple games that sometimes I confuse. But anyway, that Forsett game is a nice one. How about the AFC divisional loss to New England? Now, a lot of what the Ravens did well in that game has been forgotten. So this is the 35-31 loss where the Ravens blew two 14-point leads. And obviously some things went wrong in that game. It was also the week before Deflategate was exposed. So that was a game where Tom Brady had unfettered usage of deflated footballs without anything coming up during the game. And the Ravens had they played New England as tough as they always play New England in the playoffs. And Justin Forsett was a big part of it. 24 carries for 129 yards and a TD in that game as well. And it's easy to forget you know, how close that team was to being a Super Bowl team that year. It's just a damn shame. I'll never think positively of Brady for a lot of reasons. I'm not saying wasn't a winner. He obviously was, but I won't think positively of him because of that whole Deflategate crap. It's the most ridiculous thing. And all of the texts that came out on that after the fact are just kind of add a deliciousness to the scandal from my perspective that I think Tom Brady richly deserved.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more. Yeah. The interesting thing about that 14 team was they just seemed snake bit from the Ray Rice at the beginning to that Patriots loss at the end, where, like you said, they had a couple of big leads. They had some leftovers from the Super Bowl team that were still performing at a decent level. They had some guys. I really enjoyed looking back at that season as part of this process, seeing guys like Owen Daniels and Kamar Aiken and guys that you just, you know, would never expect to be necessarily big contributors to a divisional team, really stepping up and doing some really interesting things. So it was a lot of fun to watch. Forsett was a big part of that.
All right. You, always a pleasure talking football with you. Tell folks where they can find you online and drop your question if they want to.
I'm at Hugh Cole on Twitter. So always always open and willing to chat with folks about that. So if you want to reach out to me there, it's probably the best way to do it.
All right. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a recollection show just like you, hit me up with your player. DMs are always open on Twitter. And I want to hear from you. If you have other ideas for a show, it's the off season. I do a lot of content where I have basically an open mic approach to this. If there is an interesting topic you'd like to talk about involving football, I'll have that discussion with you. And I encourage you to send me some ideas. And that's how you got on the show for the first time, is you want to talk about Jackson and Manning. And I want you guys give that a listen if you can. So we'll double plug it in this episode. You, thanks again for coming on.
It's great fun, Ken. Thanks.
We'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.